Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, and I'm the host of the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Howard Hughes exhibit in the Florida Air Museum at Sun and Fun. Today, we've been interviewing a lot of different personalities and a lot of aviation enthusiasts, show performers, and what have you. We're going to close today with an individual that I just met a little while ago, and I'll tell you, I'm already inspired. This individual is 71 years old, and he's not shy about telling you his age, because what he does is he does hardcore aerobatic maneuvers, and he performs every day right here at Sun and Fun. His name is Gary Ward. Gary, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Gary, I'll tell you, before we got into the set here, we were talking about, and when you tell me that you're 71 years old and you're doing all this aerobatic stuff, I mean, I just couldn't help it but to feel a great deal of admiration for what you do. Why don't you just go ahead and start off by letting our people know what is it that you do? What does your act is composed of? And what kind of airplane do you fly?
First, it's a rather dubious distinction to be 71, one of the oldest pilots here, probably the oldest pilot at Sun and Fun this week doing the hardcore aerobatics. But I've been a pilot since I was 16 years old, and I've always been passionate about aviation, but never carried it to the extreme, like, for example, that you have with military and airlines and so forth, but always passionate. But I had the opportunity late in life to get involved in aerobatics. I've always loved it. I always had this so-called need for speed gene.
Right.
And so I started doing some aerobatics, and as always, you know, it takes somebody else to mentor you along or to help you, to prod you. And a good friend of mine got me started in doing air shows, and it really lit the fire once I started doing that. I flew my first air show. I was flying a Pitts S2B to begin with. It was in Wilson, North Carolina, and it was in 98 at 57 years of age.
Wow.
So I've been doing this now for 15 years. And I'm on my third airplane now. The previous airplane was a Giles 202. An all-carbon monoplane, and then in 2006 I moved up to the MX-2, which is still the latest and greatest in all-out unlimited aerobatics. It's an all-carbon fiber airplane powered by a Lycoming IO-540, still, you know, pumped up with high compression to get all the horsepower we can get, and it's a very awesome airplane, and it's just one you can throw around. It becomes an extension of your body.
And describe for us your routine. Tell us what you do from the beginning. You were telling me before.
Yeah.
Just take us from the startup,
yeah,
taxi, and then into the show.
Well, my normal start for a routine is to I take off and I accelerate maybe 300 feet. The airplane's off the ground. As soon as I'm off the ground, I immediately roll inverted and then settle back to the runway a little bit. But by that time, I've reached the speed I want, and I push up on a 45. And I go up 45, do a four-point roll. At the top of this 45, I just push. And the airplane's it really is stalled at that point. It's about 40, 50 knots. Push, pivot, and I come right back down that 45, right back to the ground, pull out, and go vertical again into a kind of a torquing, turning maneuver. And it just, so I'm constantly focusing on things that are out of the ordinary, you know, basically things that typically most, even the average person knows an airplane's not supposed to do this. And I love, you know, just making it tumble tail over nose. But it's all about entertainment. And whatever it takes to entertain the crowd, keeping it up close, in your face, making a lot of smoke and noise, you know.
Okay, now when you say the tumble, is that what they call the launch back?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, can you tell the public exactly what does that do?
It's a maneuver, basically you're trying to get the airplane to go tail over nose, just go like this, tail over nose, with the wings kind of more or less parallel to the horizon. And you're using a lot of things, the torque, the thrust, the aerodynamics, but then you have something else. It's the propeller becomes, the rotating propeller becomes a huge gyroscope on the front of your airplane. And so you got to, typically to do a tumble, you want the action going this way, you know, kind of to the left. It's a totally different reaction than if you did the maneuver to the right, because the gyroscopics take over, and pull the nose back or have a force back, and then you can make an airplane tumble.
Okay, so let me see, because I'm above on this. So I'm flying like this, and I want to start the tumble. You saying that it's better to the left?
Well, it's actually I would pull up a little bit, right. And then I start pushing. I'm going up a little bit, then I start pushing forward on the stick, left aileron, and then the rudder, just whatever I need there to feel it and to get it to go over.
Okay, yeah. But you want it to go to the left?
Yeah, I want it to go to the left, and I love to get like three of them, tail over nose. Okay. It'll automatically come out, or else it can deteriorate. The nose will go down, and it actually can continue down into a knife edge spin, and it will keep going.
Okay.
And you can recover from it, but of course, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they call that the headache.
I
believe it was out of Czechoslovakian.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard as the Czechoslovakian word for headache. Whether that's true or just an old story, I don't know.
I had the privilege of meeting Ed Moeller. I don't know
I know who you're talking about. Never met him.
Yeah. And he perished. He a long time, but he's from Jersey.
Yeah.
And I had the pleasure of flying with him, and he. Was used to do the Longchamp. I think it was one of the first ones that started doing the Longchamp.
Yeah.
And I remember he telling me that. But he never explained it, though. Explained it. And now that you're saying this, it makes a lot of sense because if you try to do it to break to the right, the aerodynamics are working against you.
Not so much the aerodynamics. If you didn't have the propeller as a gyroscope, it would be the same either way.
Right.
But it's a gyroscopic reaction of the propeller. Most people have had experience with a gyro. I always demonstrate it with a bicycle wheel on a stick.
Right.
And rotate it like I would a propeller.
Right.
And if you move it this way, it wants to go down.
Right.
If you move it this way, nose goes up.
Exactly.
So basically, I want to try to get the axis of the airplane rotating like this. And that way, it's trying to pull my nose back. If I try to do it like this, the force is pulling me forward a little bit. You can wrap it up pretty good, but it's not as much tail of a nose as going to the left.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I got it. Okay. So now we left the ground. You get up there. You do the Longchamp. What's next?
Well, I do a lot of different things. One is kind of a square loop, a little bit different than what everybody else does. I do a few maneuvers. I dive in really high speed right on the deck, and I do a really hard. This is the highest G's I pull. I pull between 9 and 10 positive G's. But just square this corner and go vertical. But it's over, the G load is over like that. Now I go up, and as I'm approaching 100 knots, I just jerk the stick in my chest as hard as I can. And now it stalls at the top. And now I'm crawling across the top, like this. And it's accelerating. And then when I get to about 100 knots at that level, I jerk the stick again in my chest. And now the ground's coming up fast now. I use it back off the throttle a little bit. And now, before I hit 500 feet, I jerk the stick back in my chest again, and it just,
right,
and it just shudders out of this. It's fully stall wing,
right?
With the power and the thrust that I have, you can play with the stick to reattach the airflow, but just fly out of it.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Now, and then what? How do you finish that?
Oh well, sometimes I just break off at that point and go in right into another maneuver, or maybe I do a hover. Generally speaking, when I do the hover, which is the airplane won't truly hang by the prop, but you can fake it pretty good if you get it up. I'll come right on the runway, slow speed, pull up, and start goosing the throttle till I get up to about, I want to be about 800 feet at least. And I slow it down, then I come back in with full power, and I like to do it into the wind, and then I roll it inverted. I mean, I'm at like 40 knots, nose pointed about 65 degrees up, roll it inverted, and hang there. And then when I'm done, I just push, fly back out this way.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So.
Okay, well, now I want to ask you a question. I want to take you back a little bit. And I want, here's the question. Tell us about the spark. In other words, what made you in the first place to become a pilot? Straight on level guy, not aerobatics, but to fly.
When I was, I never had anybody in my family that even remotely interested or related to flying. I just developed an interest when I was about 12 years old. I always wanted to fly in the military, and I kind of messed my chances up. I didn't go to college right out of high school, and so I actually joined the regular Air Force as a mechanic, got out, finished up college, and by that time I was too old. But anyway, that's what I really wanted to do.
Right.
But I just always been passionate about it for some reason. And, you know, I want to say this too right now. You know, everybody knows, they've heard about it, the shutdown of the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds and all military participation in air shows. I was at Hunter Airfield in Savannah, Georgia, when I saw the Blue Angels for the first time. And, you know, it just, every kid's got that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're shut down.
Yes.
And it's, they were supposed to be here, the Thunderbirds, this week, I believe.
Correct.
Know? And so correct. It's just a shame. But anyway, you know, that interest sparked, and I've just been passionate about it all my life. And it's a purely accident that I got into air shows. I didn't set out to do this. It just fell into place for me. But it's been a blast, as I was telling you earlier. By the way, let me put in a plug for my little town. I'm from
sure.
small town of Lincolnton, Georgia, right on the South Carolina border, just northwest of Augusta.
Okay.
And I have my own little private airstrip there, and I took off there day before yesterday, a two-hour flight down to Lakeland here.
Okay.
Beautiful flight. But I have flown now, over the last few years, I've flown air shows, two air shows in Alaska, a couple places in Canada, all the way on the East Coast and Nova Scotia, and going back this year. I've done two shows in Panama, Guatemala, Honduras, Acapulco, another Reynosa, Mexico. And it's just, at my age, you know, to be doing this, it's just exciting to be traveling and meeting interesting people.
Yep.
So.
Yep. When you said Georgia, what's the name of the town again?
Lincolnton.
Lincolnton.
Yeah.
How close is that to Gainesville, Georgia?
I'm about an hour and 15-minute drive from Gainesville.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the best country kitchen.
Yeah.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
It's on Highway 60.
Oh, yeah.
By Gainesville Airport.
Yeah.
Called LNA.
LNA.
That's
I'll
the name of the.
Yeah.
You know why I remember that? Because that's the initials of my wife.
Oh, okay.
Lourdes Alfonso. And I went there, and let me tell you, the food, delicious. Cholesterol, you can cut it with a knife. I mean, the thing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But now, tell us what is in store for you. I mean, tell us how many days you're going to perform here.
Okay, I performed yesterday, and I'm again today and tomorrow. And I'll be flying next to the last performer to fly today at about something pretty close to 6 o'clock today. So anyway, this I think this is probably my 10th year to fly Sun and Fun. I skipped the last 2 years. I missed the year they had the bad weather here.
Yes.
I was supposed to be here. I was on the schedule, but I had a registration issue.
We were here that day.
Yeah.
We were here that day.
Yeah.
It was
fortunate I was not here.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be back after 2 years.
Yep. Well, now let me ask you this. If you perform here at Sun and Fun, do you have any other shows scheduled in the near future?
Oh, yes. I don't have that many in the first half of the year, but the second half I have quite a few. I just flew 2 weekends ago in Key West, Florida at the Naval Air Station with the Blue Angels. That may have been their last show. And then I've had one show to cancel at Pensacola Beach. That was with the Blue Angels, so they've canceled that show. A lot of shows, the whole show is canceling because of the loss of the...
Sequestration, yeah.
But I will still probably be doing another 10 more shows this year.
Cool. Cool.
Have one all the way on the west coast of Canada and two on the east coast of Canada. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but has there been a close one?
You know, I haven't had anything close doing aerobatics or air shows. I've had other things, crazy things.
Any more stories that we can learn something
well,
from?
Well, back when I was early on the learning curve in that little pits when I got started out, I was trying to land a little grass airstrip that my partner, and I really had no business landing there, but I went up flying through the top of a sycamore tree, and I flew through it, and I get through it, and my first thought was, God, I can't believe I'm still flying, I'm alive, the airplane's still flying, and I looked out, and I had sycamore leaves all over the wings and the struts and the wires, and I said, oh, man, I knew I had to damage this airplane, and I was embarrassed because we just had it rebuilt, and then another story, I accidentally bounced this was my previous airplane, the Giles 202, accidentally bounced it off the water. I was flying low, you know, high power settings, trying to break in some cylinders. Anyway, that's I think the statute of limitations run out on that, by the way.
Yeah, good thing the feds are not watching. And you said you bounced it off.
Yeah, you know, it's what a lot of people don't realize. I mean, there's a lot of videos going nowadays of airplanes skiing on the water, which I have done that quite a few times.
I just asked, I can't remember his name. I had a guest here who's with the Seaplane Association.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Oh, I do it all the time. I have a little Cessna 140, a big lake, and just come down and, you know, just ski the tires on the water.
And you keep on going.
If you hit a little hard, it just bounces off. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because when I saw the clip, I thought it was kind of a tricky.
No. There's a famous video down in South Africa about six T6s.
Yes,
on
that's
the
one I've seen.
That's true. That's for real.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess we're getting to that point in the interview that we're going to have to say goodbye.
All right.
And I'll tell you, Gary, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Diego.
Talking to you. Not only that, and you're an inspiration. Not only to me, because I'm 67 and I look older than you are.
I don't
think my adrenaline will give me will be enough adrenaline to do what you do.
I hope you make it out for the show today.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm going to watch you do your thing.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.